So the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And a great way to look at the book of Proverbs is to see a father instructing his children related to the wisdom that they need in order to navigate life in a godly way. We all need that kind of wisdom, don't we? Perhaps you were raised in a great family, and growing up, you received biblical and moral instruction, and that's good. Others of us, though, weren't raised in that way. They had to learn everything through the school of hard knocks. Well, the wonderful thing about the book of Proverbs, and really the whole Bible, is that no one needs to live life independent of God's wisdom. No one. God offers his wisdom to us as his kids. So as we work our way through these first chapters, and definitely in a chapter today, Solomon imparts to his children and to us the blessings of a God-directed life. So chapter 4, here let's read a couple verses. Verse 1, Proverbs 4, 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Good teaching is another way of saying that. Do not forsake my law. Verse 3, when I was my father's son, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Verse 5, get wisdom, exclamation point. Get understanding, exclamation point. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. And then it goes on, wisdom is the principal thing. Stop with me there. Lord, thank you for the fact that you gave us a copy of your heart that we're reading right now. Lord, we're blown away by the fact you love us that much to give us instruction, and you desire to grant us wisdom as we navigate through life, and we're thankful for that, Lord. So be our teacher this morning, Lord. Show us your heart in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we start, the word instruction there in verse 1, hear my children, the instruction, it's a very specific Hebrew word. It means the discipline of a father. So dad's not just giving his kids information. He's instructing them with specific obedience attached to it. When I was about 18 years old, I remember thinking that my dad did not know what he was talking about. He didn't know anything about the music I listened to. He didn't know anything about the movies I watched. He didn't know anything about anything, really. The old fart was clueless. He was probably 45, you know. He was clueless. But as I got older, I realized how wise my dad was on the things that really mattered. And he's with the Lord now, but there are many days I wish I could sit, especially when I got something broke down in my house, many days I wish I could sit and talk with my dad about real life things. So Solomon's talking about how he imparted this instruction, this discipline to his kids. And then notice in here, when Solomon emphasizes that they're not to forsake the law, he's telling us that he gave them biblical instruction, not instruction from how the world sees things or even his own experiential life. The instruction he gave his kids came from the Word of God. And that's what we're to impart to our kids too. And as our kids grow and they come face to face with issues of life, we're to bring instruction to them related to God's Word. Doctrine. And then think about it. In the course of our kids' childhoods, we're going to instruct them on a whole bunch of important topics. The value of hard work. The value of honesty. Of proper speech. Of having respect for your elders. Having self-control. About forgiveness. And that list goes on and on and on. All the things we have the privilege of instructing our kids about related to God's Word, we have a great, great privilege, don't we? And I know when you're in the middle of it, you just like to get your head above the water and take a deep breath. But one of these days, your kids are going to be raised, and what are they going to remember about their childhood? Did we impart to them the truths of God's Word? Now, 3, He says, when I was my father's son. Remember, Solomon was the oldest son of King David and Bathsheba, oldest living son. Remember, the initial kid died. So he's the oldest living son. And David expressed to young Solomon the importance of God's wisdom and knowledge. And I would think that, remember back as we read it, I think it's in 1 Kings, when God shows up to Solomon and says, what do you want? Remember how Solomon responded? He said, I need wisdom, God. I don't know how to lead these people. And I wonder if, as we read this, that was kind of what was put inside of his heart, is the need for wisdom. And that's why Solomon asked for that years later. Now, as I read through here, I see something really jumping right off the page at me. The supreme responsibility for moral and spiritual instruction is with the parent. It's not to be left to the culture. It's not to be left to the school system. It's not even to be left to the church. It's for sure not to be left to Snoop Dogg or LeBron or the Hollywood elite. And yet so many parents, even Christian parents, are letting Snoop Dogg influence their kids. How crazy is that? The primary responsibility, we see it here, we see it throughout Scripture, of raising our kids with godly principles is with the parents. And did you notice, too, that it wasn't just Solomon's mother who instructed, but his father, too. Now, no doubt, King David was a very busy man, but he took time to teach his son spiritual things. Fellas, don't be lazy on this. You have a very short window of time to invest spiritually in your children. Take advantage of it. Start early. Now, if you've been around, you've heard me tell you this before, but Megan and Sandy are away. They're down in Florida at Disney. Megan loves Disney. But when she was a little squirt, I wasn't really reading a lot of the Bible to her, a little bit. When they would go to bed, I would read and pray, but just a little bit, because I didn't think she had the capacity. Well, she was this little. One day, she was quoting all the Disney princesses. She had them all. And it's like, I remember thinking that, and she has no idea who the apostles are. And it's like, right then, it dawned on me, I need to start. So Maddie still hasn't had her kid. You know, I mean, we're past due date, right? So we're waiting. So let's pray for Maddie and especially Eli through this. But I don't know how you were, and they used to tell me when Sandy was pregnant, you know, talk to the baby in the womb. It felt a little weird. It is crazy how from the womb we can affect our kids. So I really say this to you fellas, man, don't think that you got time. It goes very, very quickly. And this passage should really resonate with you about your responsibility. And the other thing I think we got to remember as we go through this, when we're teaching our children, we're also teaching our grandchildren. Because David's instruction to Solomon affected Solomon's instruction to his kids. Now, it's amazing. You probably would say this too. It's amazing the number of times I heard my dad and my mom speak as I was talking to my kids. It was kind of weird to hear their words coming out of my mouth. And Shelby, who's here today, just shivered thinking about the fact that my words are maybe going to come out of her mouth. And she's thinking, oh, what's that? They already do. Okay, Tyler's shivering. So Solomon here is simply telling us that he did in his children's lives what his parents did in his. If we've been blessed with a godly heritage, then we have the responsibility of passing that along to our children. You know, I've known people who have been raised in a godly home, given a godly heritage, and they would say they're thankful for that upbringing. But when they became parents, they became very sporadic in raising their children that same way. They're sporadic in their biblical instruction at home and in their church attendance and in helping their kids get involved in youth group. And what often happens, and I've seen it, is we can allow youth sports to dictate our schedules. As we chase after college scholarships or chase after the dream of the NBA or the NFL or all that kind of stuff, those youth teams, they require a commitment to them that oftentimes makes you miss every weekend for the whole season. I'll never forget. A number of you have done this really well. One in particular was the Bruns family. I remember Eli was an elite ball player. Don't tell him I said that. But he was. Especially as a young scrub, he was good. And I remember Debbie one time, he was little, and Debbie saying one time, we will not let him get involved. And Mark too, we will not let him get involved in teams that we're going to have to go to St. Louis. He's 8 years old. We're just not going to do that. And there are options, folks. There are options. And I love sports. I think sports builds a lot into the kids' hearts. You know, and I'm so thankful for my upbringing with athletics. But we cannot allow travel teams to dictate to us our schedules. And for some of us, it's not sports necessarily, but it's other things that are pulling at us. And they'll put the guilt trip on you. If you're not committed, man, we need to pray for wisdom, don't we? We need to pray for wisdom related to this. Well, what happens after a while? We parents, we blink twice. All of a sudden, our kids are grown. And the single most formative time for the things of God to be built into their lives, poof, gone. And then those parents failed to give their children what others did for them. And it happens. It's tragic in my mind. Think of Daniel with his three buddies. Remember? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? As youths, they were taken into Babylonian captivity, the center of extreme paganism. And yet, due to their biblical foundation, they stood strong and they even prospered there spiritually. It's why it's vital we raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because we have no idea where life is going to take them. We have no idea. So no parent who's been raised with a godly heritage should deny their children the blessings of having that same heritage. And we see here Solomon received from David and imparts to his kids. Pay attention. I know I'm landing pretty hard here, but we'll get through it. Verse 4, it says, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. And the last thing I want to say, keep my commands and live. God's commandments don't restrict. They bring liberty. They bring freedom. And they produce the abundant life that God desires for us. And the world lies to us and say, God's commandments bind us. Oh, no, no, no. See it there? Keep my commands and live. Wouldn't it be nice at the end of your life? I was able to live the life that brought joy and peace and hope. That's what I'm after. Now Solomon speaks of the blessings of God's wisdom. Let's start at 6. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Remember, wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. And it says here, it's the principal thing. Say this. You're standing outside watching the guy you hired trim branches off your tree. Big old branches. and you're standing there watching. And one of the guys who's up in the tree, his buddy, comes up to you and says, you realize that in about 15 seconds, that big branch is going to land right where you're standing? Okay, you just got knowledge. Wisdom says, move. That's what wisdom is. The difference between wisdom and knowledge. And we're told here, wisdom brings many wonderful things into our lives, including being placed in positions of honor. And the quality of life that we live due to godly wisdom will make our lives attractive to others. They're going to be drawn to Christ because they see you living this life. Keep going, 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Being led by godly wisdom is the right and safe way to live. Now, if you know me, I love documentaries. You know, when we went through the craziness of COVID and all that, I mean, I was just watching documentary after that. I still watch them. If I'm watching TV, it's either sports, which is 99% of the time, or documentaries. It's just how I am. I watched one the other day on the drug trade and where all that garbage comes from. Well, they cut these drugs with horrible stuff, including rat poison, to stretch the volume so they can make more money. And these guys are not pharmacists. They're not Heisenberg from Breaking Bad, you know? They're not that guy. These guys, well, they're bad news. And the stuff they sell is lethal. Notice we're not just take hold of wisdom. 13, I tried to emphasize it when I was reading it. But take firm hold. Again, the word for instruction there is discipline. Not many people live disciplined lives anymore. A little discipline will take us a long way in life. The Lord is challenging me to be more disciplined in my speech and in my shutting up. I'm losing that battle a lot. Having discipline is a good thing, especially in our spiritual lives. I was with a guy, I have known him for a long time, kind of lost track of him a little bit. He has not been walking with the Lord for over 18 years. And I ran into him somewhere, and we had lunch the other day, and he was asking about spiritual disciplines, and he's desiring to get back into the spiritual disciplines. If you don't have discipline in your life spiritually, you're just going to wander all over the place. If you aim at nothing, you're bound to hit it. There's wisdom from my mom. And it's not just spiritual discipline. Financial discipline matters too. Financial discipline matters too. So take firm hold of discipline. And notice it says there, for she is your life. So failing to heed God's wisdom and instruction, it's disastrous. So now Solomon describes the path of the wicked starting in 14. Don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. These are not suggestions. Avoid the path of evil. Don't be curious about it and investigate. All sin has a hook. And once it hooks us, it destroys us. Many people get hooked on certain sin because they were curious about it. And they thought, I'll just check it out. I wonder what it feels like. Just one toke. Just one snort. Just one time getting drunk. I want to feel what it's like to get drunk. Just one time driving over 100 miles an hour. And Solomon warns us, don't do it. Strong. The reason I said Paul is Paul wrote to the Romans and says, be wise on what is good and be simple concerning evil. And the word simple there means humble, innocent. It carries the idea of an innocent child. There's significant strength in those words Solomon gives to us. And notice four exhortations in regard to it. Avoid it, don't travel on it, turn away from it, pass on. God's pretty clear. Don't go on the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil. And then I read 16 and 17. You know, there's an adrenaline rush to crime. There's like an addiction to it. They're so addicted to it, they cannot sleep until they've done evil. They're not free. They're hooked on doing evil. And the contrast is verse 18. If you're a highlighter, a circler, here is a spot, 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines even ever brighter under the perfect day. What a great life we get to live as Christians, right? What a great life. It gets better every day. It doesn't necessarily get easier, right, Grace? But it gets better. We have the privilege of walking in relationship with Almighty God, who desires to direct our steps. And we walk in joy and peace and forgiveness, true freedom. And the path we're walking on is leading us to one of these days, if you finish Revelation with us, one of these days, we're going to be around the throne of God in New Jerusalem. But, 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. The evil, they live in darkness, groping, trying to find their way. And when they fall, they're clueless as to why. You know why? Because living that life makes you stupid. A few examples. Two guys broke into a business, robbed it, decided to put graffiti on the wall, and one guy wrote, "Peter Griffin was here." He was arrested later that day. There's the wisdom of the wicked. One guy goes into a convenience store and robs at gunpoint the cashier, all the cash in the register. Well, there was a bottle of scotch right behind her, and he says, "Hey, I want that bottle of scotch too." And she says, "I don't believe you're of legal drinking age." So he pulls out his wallet, shows her his ID, and our authorities arrested him just a few hours later. They knew his name and his address. And here's my favorite. I think this stuff's true. A 44-year-old man, okay? So he's not some 18-year-old snot-nosed kid. 44-year-old man robbed two Pittsburgh banks in broad daylight while unmasked because he believed lemon juice made him invisible to security cameras. Wickedness makes a person stupid. There is only one way we're intended to live life, by live in accordance to God's wisdom. So we close here, starting in verse 20, and the end of it is really important, so hang in there with me. There are the characteristics of God's children who highly esteem godly wisdom. So here's a few characteristics. Notice, 20, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline